You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander has left the building, as Elvis was wont to do here in Memphis, but Eddie the Bombardier Miller has capably and ably filled his seat as we broadcast tonight from our flagship station here in Memphis and going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at libertyroundtable.com, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and other places. Very excited about tonight's third hour. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, two for two in the last 2 weeks. Last week, we had a gentleman making his debut appearance, Mr. Wayne Allen Root, and tonight we have an equally impressive guest making her, yes, I said her, debut appearance on our award-winning broadcast. And Eddie, I'll toss it over to you for a proper introduction.
Well, good evening, Chrissy. Do they call you Chrissy, Miss Chris Ann?
No, only my grandma. She passed away several years ago.
You know, it seems natural. I was just telling James that, you know, we did kind of a pre-talk earlier, and it was just like talking to my cousin or something. You're so easy to talk to. But we're in it, and we've got Miss Chris Ann Hall on tonight, Mrs. Chris Ann Hall, and she, like Sam Bushman said during the break, she has very impressive credentials, very easy to talk to, really down to earth, but very intellectual too. Miss Chris Ann, I think instead of me reading your biography, I'll tell you what, I'll touch some of it, and let me know if I've leave out anything.
Okay.
Miss Chris Ann is a former attorney and a former prosecutor, and she was fired after teaching the Constitution, God forbid, to the Tea Party groups. She is a disabled veteran of the United States Army. She is a Russian linguist, James. I can't even pronounce it. And here she is. She speaks Russian. She's a mother, and I consider the mother the highest position you can get in society, a good mother. Nothing better than a good mother, nothing worse than a bad one. She is a patriot, God forbid, and a pastor's wife. I thought that was very interesting because she's a Baptist like us, James. She has the same faults with the churches that we do. This is what really, really brought me to got me interested in you, Chris Ann, is you teach the Constitution. As we talked earlier about that, you know, I took a stab at that myself, and for various reasons, I was unable to do it. Had a few threats going on and a few other things, couldn't get interest up. And this is something else. This lady has a degree in biochemistry, James. Can you believe that? She has a degree in biochemistry. She has her lawyer's degree from University of Florida. She has her own radio talk show out of Tallahassee, Florida, and is on one of my favorite communications places, Genesis Communications Network. That's where Dr. Stanley Monteith is on. And Chris Ann, fill me in on anything that I've left out there. I know you have a lot of stuff, and just kind of introduce yourself, and I'm going to ask you a few questions and about mainly what we talked about earlier.
Well, I am, and I'm still an attorney, but I am an endangered species. I'm actually a constitutional attorney who understands the Constitution and is a Christian. So that puts me on the endangered species list. But I do not practice because I spend all my time traveling around the country teaching the Constitution. Right now my home base is Florida. I'm right outside of Jacksonville, Florida, but right now I'm in Marysville, California, and been on the West Coast this whole week for the last 7-8 days teaching the Constitution to local groups and to homeschool and Christian schools. And we have had a great time over here on the West Coast because, in spite of what some people might think, there actually are a good number of conservatives on the West Coast. They're just, you know, like everything else, out-voiced by the loud-mouth liberals. I have written 4 books, and the workshop that I teach, which is a 5-hour workshop, I just finished teaching that in Marysville today, is also available on a 3-DVD set. Now, it's not my husband with a camcorder, but it is a professional rendition of a live workshop that I do. And that's pretty much what I do now. A minimum of 3 weeks out of every month, I'm away from my home. 3.5 weeks, sometimes some months. And I'm traveling around the country. I consider myself a missionary to the people of the United States in defense of the Constitution.
Nothing could be more important than being a missionary in defense of the Constitution, in my book, Chrisanne. You know, we spoke earlier about how ignorant the people are in the United States. And, you know, they haven't been taught that in the schools. But I really can't give them a pass on that, because I wasn't taught that in the schools either. Neither was James Edwards or Keith Alexander. No one that I know of in anywhere near modern times in the public schools, or the private schools for that matter, even in the Baptist school where my grandson just graduated from, they teach a light, watered-down version of the Constitution where he went to school, a Baptist school, but it's strictly watered down. It was the Constitution according to the instructor. And
yeah,
we had so many arguments that over that he blocked me. I couldn't send him other articles. But Chrisanne, I would like to ask you how you teach this Constitution. I know, and who do you teach? And I noticed that you teach it in a different way than most other people teach it. For instance, I try to get my teaching kit in here. I told you about out of the Peruca and Peruca law firm out of Pasadena, Maryland. They're a Christian-based law firm, and they're very strong constitutionalists, but ours may have differed some kind of way. Who do you mainly teach? What groups do you teach to?
Well, you know, I teach all kinds of groups. I mean, I've taught bar associations. I've taught Christian schools. I've taught charter schools. I've taught Tea Party groups. I've taught economic councils. There really is no single identification of a group that I can give you, other than people who are actually you know, genuinely concerned about learning the truth about the Constitution. Now, I don't teach a watered down version of the Constitution, and I don't teach what you find in the history book. I teach the factual history, not the revised history. And my teaching is even different from what you would get from Hillsdale or from any of the history and constitutional teaching courses that you find anywhere else. I don't know about the course that you're talking about, but my experience and the other people that I have taught, their experience with constitutional training either begins at 1776 or begins with the Magna Carta. Well, the honest truth of it is the Magna Carta is not the beginning. The Magna Carta is well into the history of our Constitution. And there are what I call the genealogy of the Constitution. There, it took 700 years to write the Constitution, and there are five documents that had to be written over 700 years. The Magna Carta is the second one, not the first one.
Wow!
And without learning these five documents, all five of them, there's no way for us to really understand what it is that our Constitution means and its proper application. I mean, we're absolutely inundated today with people saying that the Constitution is antiquated, is outdated. The framers couldn't possibly know what we're supposed to see.
Chrisanne, if I could interrupt you just slightly to take a commercial break, I am really excited about where this interview appears to be going. So we've got to her for the remainder of the hour, folks, so we're just getting started. Stay tuned, everybody.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. That number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to our broadcast. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and our featured guest of the night, Chris Ann Hall. I'm glad we have Chris Ann for the full hour this evening because she is, so accomplished. It took nearly an entire segment just to go through a portion of her biography. But she is, of course, an author, an attorney, a Christian constitutionalist above all else. And that is why she's on this show tonight, doing great work around the world. And Chris Ann, before that first commercial break of the hour interrupted us, you were talking about some of the documents in addition to the Magna Carta, which I believe was chartered in 1215, that had a hand in our very own Constitution.
Right. It did. It took five documents over 700 years before Thomas Jefferson could even have the inspiration to create the Declaration of Independence. And when you find these five documents, as I teach, you understand that Thomas Jefferson didn't even really write the Declaration of Independence. He actually plagiarized it. It looks just like the five documents that came before him. And the history that I teach actually begins in 1041. So there's a significant history that occurs before 1215. And the amazing part of this is that people get to see a surprising parallel between where we are and where we've been. Have you ever heard the saying that those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, the truth of the matter is we always repeat our history. Patrick Henry said, I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know no way to judge the future but by the past. And Alexander Hamilton said, experience is the oracle of truth, and where its responses are unequivocal, they ought to be held to be sacred and conclusive. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And so we know that history always repeats itself. But those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat its mistakes. And the history that I teach, and I am very careful not to interject it with opinion, but to give you the historical facts and the words of the people who lived it, and show you how we are absolutely repeating the same mistakes that have been repeated for over 1,000 years, because we've become ignorant of our history.
You know, what role did Blackstone's commentaries on the law have in forming our Constitution, Chris Ann?
Well, you know, they were a valuable source for our framers. And But I wouldn't give them any more weight than I would Locke or Algernon or any of the others. They were a piece of the puzzle, and they were a valuable piece of the puzzle. But we have to understand that our framers pulled in a lot of history. And Blackstone gave us some really good commentaries on the position of tyrannical governments and the role of the people and the way the court system works in the role of tyranny.
Well, another thing, you know, Sam, our guy who owns Liberty News Radio, chimed in something was really, I think he hit it right on the nail right on the head, and that is the Bible. I would think, you know, and I bet you would agree that the Bible, the Holy Bible, probably had as much influence on forming our country and our Constitution as any. Is that true or not, Chrissy?
Oh, absolutely. It is the most quoted source in the writings of our framers. And that's principally because we are built on a Judeo-Christian worldview. It's the Judeo-Christian worldview that allows us to have a country built on the idea that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Buddhism doesn't give you that. Hinduism doesn't give you that. In Hinduism, you're not even here. You don't see reality until you reach a higher plane of existence. Islam doesn't give you that, because in Islam, not even all Muslims are created equal, much less all men created equal. I mean, my goodness, if you're not created equal as a Muslim, you're certainly not created equal as a non-Muslim, because then you're an infidel and you need to die. And so it is only the Judeo-Christian worldview that gives us this understanding that all men are created equal, but we have to also understand that it's only the Judeo-Christian worldview that allows us to believe that all religions are welcome. Richard Henry Lee, one of the very famous founders, or important founders, not very famous, but he's very important, founders of our nation, said, "It is true we are not disposed to differ much now about religion, but as we are creating a constitution, it is hope for ages and millions yet unborn. Why not make freedom of religion as a part of that national compact?" And the understanding that, as our framers said, we are building a nation whereas all could be equally free, Jews, Turks, pagans, and Christians, is built on the Judeo-Christian worldview that we are created by God, but God has gifted us with a free will. Meaning God himself doesn't come down with a lightning bolt and strike us dead the very moment, or punish us the very moment we don't believe exactly what he wants us to believe or do exactly what he wants us to do. And that understanding is that government should never have more power than God.
Amen. Amen. You know, you mentioned Richard Henry Lee. I believe, am I mistaken? You may not know. I think he was the direct ancestor of General Robert E. Lee, if I'm not mistaken. They were a very good family. But I got to ask you a question, Chrissy. I think nowadays, I think you're 100% right. I believe our country, and this is my opinion, was formed pretty much almost entirely on the Bible, biblical concepts, beliefs. Nowadays, I believe, and we touched on that in our previous conversation. It seems like modern Christians have watered the Bible down, got away from it, and a lot of Christians, especially in my church, they don't want to get involved in the mix. They don't want to get out in the fight, and they will always use Romans 13. And I'm no Bible scholar, but in my opinion, I believe that Romans 13 is the most abused verse in the Bible. You know, so many Christians use that as a cop out. Yeah. Oh, hey. Well, they use that as a cop out to say, well, I'd love to do something about the government. I would love to protest the IRS. I would like to get rid of the satanic Federal Reserve. But, you know, I can't do it because I'm a Christian. And, you know, after all, Romans 13 tells me that I have to lick the hand of government, you know. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it or maybe exaggerating that, but I get so discouraged with the people, especially in the church. And I love my church. I love the people that go there. But you just cannot move them to action because they're brainwashed on this Romans 13. What do you think about that, Christiana? Am I right or wrong?
I teach I teach an entire lesson for churches on religious liberty. And I can help you with that, actually. What you need to do is employ a methodology used by attorneys. You have to approach them on common ground and get them to agree with you. So you ask them, do you believe that liberty is a gift from God? Now, you'd be hard to find a Christian that doesn't believe liberty is a gift from God. You ask them then, do you believe that this country is a gift from God, or in the very least was established through divine providence? Meaning that God himself had a hand in the formation of this nation to achieve his purpose in the greater advancement of the gospel. Now, I bet your pastor would even agree with that.
I do.
And then, I believe that practically every Christian who's a real Christian would agree with that. Then you mention to them this. Well, if you believe that, then you have to understand that the parable of the talents teaches that when the master gives a gift, he will return with a day of reckoning and make the servants he's given that gift to accountable for that. And the parable of the talents teaches that the one who got the five talents turned his talents into 10. And the one who got 4 talents turned his into an 8. But the one who had 1 talent buried his talents in the sand and gave that talent back to the master.
Man,
and the master has some very serious consequences for that person who did not prosper.
I hate to cut you off, but we got to go to a break. And I want you to take up exactly where you are now when we come back from the break, and I've got another question to ask. We're going to a break now, folks. We'll be right back with this dynamite guest.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, people, we're back with a dynamite guest, one of the best ones we've had in a long time. Even James agrees with that. It's Miss Chris Ann Hall. She's amongst a long biography of hers. She is this constitutional. She teaches the Constitution. She won't claim to be an expert, but if you've been listening to her speak, you can tell she's the best expert I've seen. We kind of pride ourselves around here being as novices on the Constitution. But Chris Ann has told me some things I never heard of. By the way, Chris Ann, I was catching a little flack, of course, kindly flack during the break about calling you Chris Ann, about calling you Chrissy. But anyway, back, you know what? You brought some really interesting.
I've been called worse.
Hey, I have too. Believe me, I've been called worse too. And in fact, by James Edwards, he calls me worse things sometimes. But I guess the worst thing he called me though is a pappy sometimes. Well, listen, you were really, really.
Marco Rubio has very bad names for me,
ma'am.
Marco Rubio has some very unnice names for me.
I don't doubt that. You're really pushing all my buttons. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to run something by you. Our church, they say, you know, in fact, I've had arguments with the guy who teaches the Constitution in our Macon Road Baptist School. But he's still a friend of mine, but we just cannot agree on the Constitution. I told him, this is the Constitution Court of Papaw. That's what they call me there. I told them that Caesar, you know, when Jesus, you brought up, the parable you were talking about earlier, when Jesus picked a coin up and he asked the Pharisees, whose image is on this coin? And they said, well, that's Caesar's. He said, well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God's what's God's. I told those people here, this is my opinion, but ask you if I'm right or wrong. In my opinion, Caesar in the United States of America is the Constitution of the United States, but even more so than that is we the people of the United States, because we the people of the United States, we created the Constitution. The Constitution did not create us, just like we created the states, and we created the federal government. So am I right or wrong, Chris Ann, is that much of a stretch when I say that here in the United States, Caesar in the parable we talked about, is that the Constitution of the United States, or we the people?
I don't know that I really understand what it is, the analogy that you're trying to make. What we have to understand here is that what we're battling is a system that wants to replace God with government. As a Christian, now this only works if you're a Christian, but as a Christian, and since we're talking about the people in your church, as a Christian, we're taught in Matthew 6 that we can't, or is it Matthew 14? You cannot serve two masters, God or mammon, which means you have to look to God to be your provider, or you look to government to be your provider. And if you were a Christian running to the government to bail out your problems and fix your money issues, then you have traded your God for government, and God is no longer your provider, and so you can't serve two masters. Now, the problem that we have with our churches, and I'm probably going to make some people mad, is that the majority of our pastors have given themselves over to idolatry because they will not preach the truth. They will not preach of the wickedness, whether it be in society or even in government, because they don't want to lose their 501c3. They don't want to lose a tithe in the pew. And they don't want to make the deacon's wives mad because everybody knows the deacon wives are worse than the IRS. And so what they're telling you is that, number one, they're afraid of their 501c3 money. They're afraid of the deacon's wives and losing their job money. They're afraid of losing a tithe and the pew money. And our pastors have turned themselves over to idolatry and traded the worship of God for the worship of money. Ezekiel 3:17 is very, very clear. It says, watchmen, you will teach the wicked of their wickedness, but if you fail to teach the wicked of their wickedness, they will perish in that wickedness, but their blood will be on your hands. And so we not only have pastors who've turned themselves over to idolatry, we have pastors who no longer fear God and God's condemnation on them for their cowardice and not teaching about the wickedness, which means if they don't fear God, they no longer have the wisdom of God in them. And now they're nothing but wicked idolaters who don't have the wisdom of God in them, and they're not fit for our pulpits anymore. This is the disease that has infected our churches. The problem is Ezekiel 13 is a condemnation not just on the pastors, but on all sons of God, all Christians. Which means if you sit under a pastor who's a wicked idolater, who's afraid of man more than he's afraid of God, then you are now supporting someone who is not willing to stand for what God teaches. And that means the blood of the wicked will be on your hands. So it's incumbent upon our Christians to take their tithes and their behinds off of pews of wicked, idolatry pastors. Now, the real problem here is this, because you will hear that, well, Romans 13, and God created government as a punishment, and we have to submit ourselves under the authority that's over us. That is a wicked interpretation of the Bible. Number one, that only applies to governments who have submitted themselves under the headship of Christ. We do not have a government that has submitted itself under the headship of Christ, and so we are not bound by that. Number two, if we have Christians that believe that we are supposed to submit ourselves to tyrannical governments because that's our punishment God has given us, and we can't say boo about it, what they're saying then is Moses was outside the will of God. They're saying that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were outside of the will of God. The Old Testament is replete of prophets who stood against wicked government.
Amen.
They're saying that John the Baptist was outside the will of God when he stood against Herod and told him of his wickedness. They're saying that Paul was outside the will of God. And so what these Christians are doing are cherry-picking out of the Bible to make themselves feel better about their idolatry and their laziness. And you know what? I'm a plain speaker. Have you figured that out? So if you don't like it, don't take it up with me. Take it up with God, because that's his word.
Well, Chris Ann, you know, if you insulted anybody in this radio program, that would be a first, because I guarantee we have never made anyone mad on this show at all. That's why we're the most hated people. That's why we get death threats around here. But you know what? You've been preaching the gospel, the Papaw's gospel. That's what I've told people in our church, Chris Ann, that if the Bible is anything, it's a history of the saints, the history of the prophets, rebelling against government. You nailed it right on the bunny. John the Baptist was beheaded because he was rebelling against the government.
Right.
Just like you said, you know, Shadrach, I can't pronounce those guys, but they were rebelling against the government. You know, they rebelled, the Jews rebelled against the Pharaoh's government. But, you know, the point I was making earlier was that here in the United States, we don't have a Caesar, a Christian. We have the rule of law. We don't have rule of Caesar in this United States. And I'm just running my opinion by you to see what you think. You know, we don't take orders from the president. We don't take orders from the Supreme Court. We don't take orders from the Congress. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. No one is above the Constitution, not the Supreme Court, not the president, not nobody. And we, the people, we created the Constitution. That's what I was getting out. That's why I told the people at school, our Caesar, we don't have a Caesar here. You know, we render unto Caesar in the United States. We don't have that. We have the Constitution. But you're 100% right on that, Chris. Let me ask you some questions. How far away, and this is probably a rhetorical question, how far away from the Constitution have we come now? I mean, how much of it is left alive, Chris Ann?
Well, you know, all of it's left. The fact that we refuse to follow it doesn't make it dead. It just means that we're idiots. And so the Constitution is still intact, and the Constitution is still valid. It is still relevant. It is still the law of the land. Our attempt to defy gravity doesn't mean that gravity doesn't exist. And so what we're dealing with now is the fact that we have a government, all three branches, who are acting in defiance of the Constitution. Now, people, the liberals don't like me because they think that I'm going to always be descending. And this is what happens on my Facebook page and on my website and that sort of thing. People say, oh, well, Chrisanne, she's just one of those crazy white right-wing nut jobs. And they say she's just going to support the Republicans no matter what they do. But the honest truth of the matter is I am harder on the Republicans than I am on the Democrats because or the liberals. You know, why would I criticize a snake for being a snake? That's just who they are. I'm the one that is pointing out that our darlings, the ones that we're supposed to be holding up in high regard, are the real enemy to the Constitution.
Amen.
Alan West likes to run around and tell us that the Muslim Brotherhood is greatest enemy of America. That's not the greatest enemy of America. The greatest enemy of America is in Washington, D.C.
Amen. Chrisanne, with that, we're going to a break. Once again, I have to interrupt you. You're on a roll, but we'll come back to that point immediately after the break, Chrisanne.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
And the winner of fallback pricing is you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments, nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com to order or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, thankfully, Chrisanne Hall, our featured guest of the evening, is staying a little bit longer as Frankie Valli was hoping she would. And Eddie the Bombardier Miller, another Grand Slam tonight with his guest, Wayne Allen Root, last week. Tonight, Chrisanne Hall. Couldn't get any better. And I am glad, Chrisanne, that you have been with us for the entirety of this, our third and final hour. It's gone by like a blur. I've played a silent partner tonight, but very much enjoying the conversations, I'm sure our audience is as well, that you're having with my good friend, an elder statesman, elder brother in arms, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. So with that, Eddie, I'm going to toss it back over to you.
Well, I've been holding on. Every point of my IQ has been stretched to the max listening to this brilliant lady. You know, me and old James Edwards here, we had another intellectual here. Bless his heart, he's having some problems. He can't come on anymore. Winston Smith. Now, you're talking about a wordsmith. Now, me and James, we used to say we had to use every single word of our 50-word vocabulary to try to keep our vocabulary total 50 words to try to keep up with Winston. We know, Chris Ann, the little time we have left, I would like to ask you about some of the things we talked about earlier, you know, before the show. And I really don't know how to phrase this. I'll just say, I guess I wanted to ask you a few things about the militia, but I guess I won't start there because it'll probably take more time. What about this government shutdown? I tell you what about the government shutdown in this Obamacare? I mean, what a monster that is. Tell us. I don't know where to start about that.
Time to talk about this.
I mean, my God, I mean, how unconstitutional can you get to that? Well, I tell you what, I guess I could start off like this. I'm going to ask you, and I'll tell you who I believe it is. Whose responsibility is it? Because, and I'm 66 years old. I never in my worst nightmare 30, 40 years ago thought we would see this country come to the point where it is now, where, you know, homosexuals are glorified in the media, Christians are bad, communists are looked upon good, as good, free market people are bad. The patriots, the actual patriots of the United States, are looked upon as evil, old, slave-holding white men. People like the Black Panthers, what's her name, Angela Davis, who was in prison, teaching out at Berkeley, looked at upon as good. I really don't. I mean, they're just so. What do you think about this government shutdown? Obamacare. Do you think you have time to go into that? Chris, we touched.
No, I think I can address it really quickly. I think number one, this is not a real government shutdown. This is nothing but a dog and pony show to convince people that they need more federal government. It's look at this. We're going to shut down these segments of the government to show you. We're going to shut down things that you should be doing on your own without government so that we can prove to you that you need more government to do what you need to do. And it's nothing but a manipulation. Last week when the shutdown started, it was only 17% of the federal government. This week when the DOD brought back their 400 non-essential employees, all of a sudden now we're only at 8.5% of a government shutdown. And the unfortunate reality is perception is reality. So people are going to perceive this to be bigger than it is because the media makes it bigger than it is. And Obama's going to cry and whine and be the baby that he is. And I'm going to make a prediction for you. He's not going to negotiate. He has absolutely no reason to negotiate. Everything that is happening is exactly what he wants to happen. And what we need to do as a people is simply act in defiance. We don't need to negotiate with him either, because number one, we don't need to. Obamacare, as even if you take it as the Supreme Court ruled it, is a tax, which means Article 2, Section 7 of the Constitution governs Obamacare. And since Article 1, Section 7 of the Constitution governs Obamacare, the House of Representatives has the sole authority to eliminate it. We don't need the Senate's approval to do that. We don't, the president doesn't even get involved in that aspect of it. So if the House would just stand up and do what it's constitutionally required to do, it would eliminate Obamacare and the Senate would have absolutely no say in it whatsoever. But the bottom line is this, I'm concerned that they don't want to do that. Because Obamacare is not about health care, okay? Number one, that's the first lie. It's about health insurance. It's not going to increase your access to health care. As a matter of fact, it makes your health insurance more costly, and doctors are going to be leaving the industry, so you're actually is going to diminish your ability to get health care, even though it is a health insurance program. Number two, Obamacare is not, the biggest problem with Obamacare is not economic and health insurance. The biggest problem with Obamacare is the power that it gives the federal government. The federal government, by decree of the Supreme Court, has the power to supersede all your rights if they come up with and meet a standard the Supreme Court calls a significant governmental interest. And so if the government can show that it has a significant governmental interest in something, then it trumps your rights. It's why 134 Republicans a couple weeks ago can rule that the Fourth Amendment doesn't apply to the federal government because they have a significant governmental interest in our national security. And so quickly, let me just tell you what exactly Obamacare does. Obamacare provides the government with a significant governmental interest in your health care, which means they now have a significant governmental interest in your health. And their significant governmental interest in your health trumps everything that you can think of. Let's say you live in a rural area. You live 45 minutes to an hour from the hospital. The government can come and say, they'll have the authority now, whether they will or not is irrelevant. They have the authority to do it, to say you live too far from the hospital because it impacts our ability to get an ambulance to your house and provide you with appropriate health care. And so we can't keep your health in check when you live that far, so you cannot live outside a certain radius from a hospital. So that means you have to build a hospital or move. Or they'll tell you, you have a significant governmental interest in your health, so we have a significant governmental interest in everything that you eat. And so you will not be allowed to eat anything that has not been properly regulated and inspected by the government, which means out backyard gardens could be illegal if they're not regulated. Having your own chickens, having your own cows will be illegal unless they're regulated. Now, let me ask you a question real quick to make my point here. How do you think this administration likes the oil industry and the coal industry?
Well, they despise, at least they put on a show as hating the coal industry. Matter of fact, Obama has said that he's going to pretty much tax them out of existence, if I'm not mistaken, Chris Ann.
All right, so Obamacare, with their significant governmental interest in our health, can simply say the coal industry has too negative of an impact on our health. It is a detriment to our ability to provide adequate health care. And therefore, since it is a negative impact on your health, we are now determining that that industry will be shut down because we have a significant governmental interest that outweighs the necessity for the existence of that industry.
Chris, we're about to run
and
out of
that's
time.
Chris,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're about to run out of time. I wanted to ask you a question, and it's going to boil down to that. I wish we had another hour or two. What's the solution? I'll tell you, the solution, the Eddie Miller solution is for we the people, not just to say no, but to say, hell no, we're not taking another thing from you. We're not backing back, and we're not taking another inch back. If you come after us, government, goons, you're going to pay the price big time. What's the solution, according to Chris Ann Hall?
Well, it's not my solution, by the way. It's the solution available to us from the Constitution and as indicated by the framers of our nation. And it is exactly what you said. It's simply the understanding that the Ninth Amendment declares all the rights belong to the people. The Tenth Amendment declares all the power belongs to the people, except for the very few enumerated powers given delegated to the federal government. And the solution to the problem is the states simply reassert their independence and their sovereignty, and they say, we will not submit ourselves to the unconstitutional regulations. We will not allow you to enforce them here. We will not enforce them for you. And on the individual level, the people must also say, we refuse to comply. And if we engage in these massive protests, these refuse to comply, we refuse to pay these income tax penalties, we refuse maybe even to pay our income tax until you get rid of this stuff, then the government will have no choice to make either a decision to get back into check or to show its really true tyrannical self and maybe exert itself in, you know, some type of attempt takeover of the state, which is not going to work out very well for them.
That's the best solution I've heard anyone come up with. You said it a lot more eloquently than I can say, but civil disobedience, getting in the streets, doing whatever it takes, is what it's going to take to solve this problem, if it's solvable, if a people in the United States, if they have the guts. And I'm kind of pessimistic about that. I think James wanted to say something. Well, looks like we're out of time, Chris.
I want to thank you again, everyone, for tuning in tonight. Certainly for Chris Ann Hall for being our featured guest of the evening. And everyone listening at the Fox and the Hound tonight, I hear we have a whole restaurant tuned into the show on the AM dial. Good night, everybody. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.
ThePoliticalCesspool.org.